الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this insan different opportunities where he can come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it is a great night like Laylatul Qadr. Sometimes it is a great month like the month of Ramadan. Sometimes it is a great day like the day of Arafat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy grants us a day every week where we can gain closeness to Him. And that is the day of Jum'ah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the best day that the sun has ever risen upon is the day of Jum'ah. But this is insan's temperament and man's temperament and mentality, that when something is so common to him, then he loses appreciation for it. How many of us really make shukr for the air that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Why? Because it is something that is so common that we're breathing it in and out all the time, that man no more makes shukr for it also. Likewise, this day of Jum'ah is coming in and is coming and going, week in, week out. There are so many virtues of this day, but because it is so common, man does not appreciate it anymore. I wish to speak about some of the practices of the day of Jum'ah. As we know, reading abundant durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are so many virtues. Just speaking about the virtues of reading durood and salam on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the easiest one is sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read it abundantly. It's not confined to the day of Jum'ah. Durood and salam is not confined only to the day of Jum'ah. It should be increased on the day of Jum'ah. So that means it should be read at other times also. Secondly, Ibn Sunni, a great muhaddith, has mentioned that on the day of Friday, after the sunnat of his fajr, between the sunnat of the fajr and the fard of the fajr, so after he reads his sunnat, and he reads, أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. Three times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his minor sins. Then after the Asr Salah, if a person on a Friday If he sits on the same spot that he performed his Asr Salah, and he reads 80 times, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadan al-Nabiyyil Ummiyyi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadan al-Nabiyyil Ummiyyi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. In a riwayat of Tabrani is mentioned that 80 years of his minor sins will be forgiven. So we can see from these few narrations, minimum amount of effort, but maximum reward. How long does it take for a person to do these things? Amongst the things that we need to do on the day of Jummah is to recite Suratul Kahf. According to some narrations, that person who learns the first 10 verses of Suratul Kahf, and in some narrations of Nasa'i, if he learns the last 10 verses, so learn both, then he'll be saved. Usima min fitnati dajjal. I wish to speak about the surah in this short time. This is summary of the surah. A great saint, Mullah Abul Hasan Nadwi rahimullah, has written a book explaining the surah. And the name of the kitab is Faith versus Materialism. And he mentioned that from a young age, my mother made sure that every Friday I had to recite this surah. This also shows us that our children also, we should supervise them and make sure that they are reciting the Quran Sharif every day in the home, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the name of Allah when they're leaving the home, looking after the tarbiyah and the upbringing. That everything is according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu. So he says, my mother used to make sure that she should check up on me that I'm reciting the surah. As I grew older and I started studying, and I started thinking to myself that why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak and chose this surah out of all the surahs in the Quran, that it will save you from the fitnas of Dajjal. And when I pondered over it, and I looked at the contents of the surah, I realized that in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those things that will threaten a person's iman. As we know that Dajjal is an embodiment of falsehood. He'll be an embodiment of kufr and shirk. He will use every means to take away the people's iman. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us of those things that becomes an impediment in person's iman. The first incident is about this youth. It was at a time after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a tyrant ruler. And this tyrant ruler used to make people worship him. He used to force them to worship him. And these youngsters, because of being in good company, they decided that we cannot do that. That is shirk. That is kufr and shirk. We cannot do it. When the king heard of it, he threatened them. And he told them that we're giving you a few days, and if you do not accept what we are saying, then we will punish you. Not realizing that these youth are going to run away. Not expecting that. No one expects that. But these youth were so strong in the iman. First thing they did, now they're in a problem, they're in the situation, the first thing they did is that they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks about it in Surah Al-Kahf when they made this dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. It's a beautiful dua. O Allah, grant us mercy from your side and make it easy for us to make the right decision. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, we cannot do anything. With all your intelligence and everything, To make that right decision at the right time, you need the help of Allah subhanahu. And this is one weapon, unfortunately, we have left out, and this is the weapon of dua. Where we get a chance to speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for our needs. So they made this dua. But they did not just sit down and just make dua. Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That we kept their hearts firm when they stood up. According to one tafsir, they stood up in front of the king. According to another tafsir in Qurtubi, where they stood up to take the first step towards the right. Many people want to make changes in their life for the better. They're making dua also. But just dua itself is not sufficient. With that dua, you also have to make the correct effort. And with that correct effort, then inshallah you will reach your goal. If a person just makes dua and he's just wishing for things to change, but he doesn't make the correct effort, then that is wishful thinking. He won't reach his goal. So you make the dua and you make the... So, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. We kept their hearts firm when they stood up and they went towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they took that first step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them in five ways. They went into the cave. For 309 years they slept. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ أَتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَأَوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. That when they moved away and they went into that cave, then the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, that when they were sleeping, that the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such, then when it will rise and it will set, it will not, the rays of the sun did not fall onto their faces. Because we know that if you're sleeping soundly and suddenly light comes onto your face, what happens? You'll wake up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the rising and the setting of the sun, the rays of the sun did not touch their face. So they could sleep soundly. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ إِيقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. That when you looked at them, you thought that they were awake. But if someone sees them, they are sleeping, then they want to interfere with them also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that when anyone saw them, they thought they were awake. Then if a person is sleeping for so long in one position, we know what will happen to the body. But Allah ta'ala says, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. We turn the body towards the right, towards the left, so that nothing happens to their body also. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fourth thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيِّ بِالْوَصِيدِ. With them there was also a dog. I'm just cutting the whole incident short. There was also a dog with them. And Allah made it said that a dog was sleeping at the entrance of the cave. So if anyone came, they won't try to interfere with them also, but they seen that the dog is guarding the place also. Then Allah Ta'ala says, لَوِطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رَعْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created such awe in them that others had such awe for them that they will not even try to interfere with them. There are some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them such awe that no one wants to even try to interfere with them also. Allah Ta'ala puts that fear into the heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Nusirtu bir-ru'abi masirata shahrin. Allah created such rob and awe for me that for long distance also, if anyone wanted to try to interfere with me, they won't be able to interfere with me. So from this first incident, we understand that the first threat to our iman is our surroundings. The people around us, the environment around us, Now if those same people around us are a threat to our iman, then we need to leave them. Sit in that company that will bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the environment that we're working in or we're staying in is such a place where it's full of sin, then we need to leave that place. Without going into details, we all know the incident of the person who killed 99 people. What he was told in the end, you need to leave that place and you need to go in such a place where people, all pious people are sitting. So our threat to our iman are the people around us sometimes. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was living in such a home where there was a threat to his iman. So he had to leave. He had to leave that place and he had to go away. So that is the first incident. That the first threat to our iman is our environment, the people around us. The second incident, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about those two friends. One was very wealthy. He was a disbeliever also. And the other was a believer, but did not have much. And this person who had a lot of wealth, he used to boast, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Allah has given me so much in the dunya, Allah will give me a lot in the akhirat also. Unfortunately today, we measure success according to how much we got of the dunya. Whereas success is not dependent on how much you got in the dunya and how much wealth you got in the dunya. Success depends on how we're going to fare in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Like one poet says very nicely, Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahimullah has mentioned, Aise bhi rahe ya waise bhi rahe, waha dekhe kaise rahe. You can live however you want to in this world. The main thing is how we're going to fare in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. That's the most successful person. So this person also, he thought wealth is the end all of everything. That is the means of success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took everything away. And Allah mentions al-malu wal-banuna in the same surah. Allah says al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. These are all just the beautification of the dunya. Before that, before this verse, Allah gave an example of how a plant grows with that water, it's so green. But slowly, slowly, what happens to that plant? It withers away. And it's of no use. He says, wealth is just like that. It can come and it can go away. In one instance, it can come. In one instance. So that's the second incident. The second incident, the second threat to our iman is love for the dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Hubbu dunya ra'su kulli khatiyatin. Love for the dunya is the root of all sicknesses. This does not mean you must abandon the dunya. Yes, what is needed is that our love for the dunya must not overtake us to such an extent that we break the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If all the things around you, your family, your businesses, your wealth, and everything is more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you're asking for trouble. فَتَرَبَّصُوا, then you're asking for trouble. When there's a clash between what your family wants and what Allah wants, at that time what you're going to choose? What is the clash between your business and what Allah wants? Just at the time of salah, when you're about to close, the azan is going also. At that time, there's a big custom. It was very quiet in the morning also. And just at azan time, a big customer comes. What are you going to do at that time? Will I delay my salah? I can delay my salah also. But the call of azan is taking place. Allah praises such people. Will give preference to the salah. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بِيْءٌ أَنْ ذِكْرٍ. So the second threat to our iman is the love for dunya. The third incident that is mentioned in the surah, Suratul Kaf, is about the incident of Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salam. And we know that certain things were done in front of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he objected. And later on, Khazir alayhi salam explained to him the reason why he did whatever he had to do. So the third threat to iman is, we want things to go according to how we want it. But Allah's plan is something else. So things will go against us. At that time, how strong will be your iman? A man opened up a venture, he opened up a business. He tried everything, he did everything accordingly, according to Sharia, everything properly. Yeah, if he did things wrong, he must blame himself. He did everything according, never work out. Now is he going to complain? Is he going to speak against Allah? He wanted to get married at a certain place, never worked out. Now is he going to complain? He's going to speak against Allah. Now his iman is tested. Things are going against him. Everything he wanted one way, everything. He thinks something is good for him. Allah is saying, not good. Asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khairun lakum. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'a wa huwa sharrun lakum. You are thinking something is good for you. Allah is saying, not good for you. So this is the third threat to our iman. Where everything around us is going against us. Now at that time, how strong are you? How strong is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better for me. I did whatever I was supposed to do properly. I took all the necessary steps. I did everything according to what I was supposed to do. But then if it went sideways, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better what is best for me. So in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those things that are a threat to our iman. The first is our environment and the people around us. Second is love for dunya and love for the things of the dunya. And third is that things will be going against our expectations. At that time, how do we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time? We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this great asset of iman and this great ni'mat of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma al-iman, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.